We begin with our scripture this morning, and we're going to read from 1 John 3:16 through 24, and I read from the NIV version. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. This is the word of the Lord. If I had to say, I would have to guess that the first song I ever learned to sing was Jesus Loves Me. And I'm guessing if we ask everybody here this morning, the majority of you would say the same thing. You learned it in Bible school. You learned it in Sunday school. And what better song for the basis of our beliefs? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Just good, basic Christian theology right there in those first two lines. And then as we grow older and get into our faith journey, we look for more meaningful songs and more meaningful verses that have a deeper root. But you know, it's not really necessary. Because if we're just true to these simple verses that we learned in Bible school, well, it's all we can handle. And here's one that I remember from Bible school. It was a memory verse. Probably a lot of you had it too. John 13:34. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus told us we should love everyone, and that sounds so simple and so basic. So, do we? Do we love everybody? And do we love them as much as God loves us? And I don't ask you that as a challenge, just a simple question to you and to me. Can we love all people? And then can we love them as much as God loves us? I'm not sure we have it in us, Lord. I'm just not sure we have it in us. I'm not even sure that we can love somebody that we don't really like. But we should. That's what's expected of us as Christians. Love one another as God has loved us. A lot to think about. So, those verses we learned as children just might not be all that simple after all. Not all that easy to live up to. And here's one that we just had in our scripture just a while ago. 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Not in word, not in tongue, but in deed. And I'm afraid that's God saying to us through the Apostle John, don't just give me a lot of lip service about loving everybody. Don't just talk a good game. Get at it and do it. A man stepped up to Jesus one day, face to face. And he said, Master, which commandment is the most important? And Jesus said, well, love the Lord thy God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. And then number two is love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, I think I can do that. No, Jesus says to us. You didn't hear everything I said. Not just love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Think you can do that? Well, now, Lord, that does put a little different slant on things, I have to admit. You, me, Jesus says, if I leave off that part about loving others as much as you love yourself, you think you can do that? Yes, I think maybe I can. You mean, he says, that you can love everybody that you come in contact with? Because everybody's your neighbor, you know. Everybody you hear about on the news and read about in the news, you can overlook their actions and see the needs down in their souls and not let any of the horrible things that they do keep you from loving them. And you can even love everyone in your own family, everyone in your own church. Well, now, Lord, let me think about that a minute. Okay, he says. And while you're thinking about that, realize that that's only the first part of the commandment. After you get over that hurdle of loving everybody, and I mean everybody, then you have to love them as much as you love yourself. Jesus, can I get back to you on that one? Yes, you can get back to me, because I am a patient and loving Savior, and I'm always here for you. But don't take forever. Love your neighbor as yourself. We can't do that. Well, I think we can love our wives and our husbands, our children, our grandchildren, our siblings, our best friends. We can do all of that, and we can love them so much that any bad thing that befalls them, we wish would be on us. But I'm not sure we can love with that same kind of compassion and intensity that fellow that lives a mile down the road, that stranger that lives four houses down. Or maybe that guy that we hear about in the news who's just slaughtered his family in some horrible way. I'm telling you, we got to have Jesus firmly in our hearts to even attempt to do that. For love to even cross our minds when we hear about some of the horrendous things that some people do to other people, we have to be full of the Holy Spirit. And then we can't pull it off, because we need a Savior. We need Jesus for literally our next breath, our next thought, our next action. It was the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus had climbed that hillside, and I picture that he sat down on a rock and he's talking to all of these people, and they all can hear him clearly, hear every word. And he says to them, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Now, when some people read that in Matthew, they think that maybe Jesus was referring to some old proverb from the Old Testament, some verse from there. But that's not true. If he had been, he would have said, "It is written." But he said, "You have heard it said." So he was talking about some of those old folk adages, those old folk sayings that's handed down from generation to generation. We all know dozens of those. And he was just clearing the air on that kind of wrong thinking. He said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Wow. That is a tough one, Jesus. That's a tough one. Years ago, there was a horrible story that came to us out of South Carolina. Just back in 1994, many of you are going to remember this story. But it was about a young mother who deliberately pushed her car into the water and drowned her two little boys in the back seat. And it was a horrible story, and I personally get worked up whenever children are in the news. You know, I got kids and grandkids just like you, and I can't stand hearing about things that happen to innocent children. Well, the nation was in an uproar over this story for days and weeks. And as some of you may remember, one night, the little church that the family went to down in South Carolina had a prayer vigil right after they had found out that, yes, this young mother was guilty of this terrible deed. And the minister in that little church stood up that night and prayed for those two little boys. And then he prayed for that guilty mother. And people were upset. People in that congregation were upset. People all over the country were upset by that minister's prayer. Was the minister right? Of course he was. Love your enemy and pray for those in need and in misery, no matter what the situation. That preacher has been a hero of mine all these years, and I don't even know his name, because I was feeling the same thing about that mother that the rest of the world was feeling. And that night, he opened my eyes to things I already knew, but just wasn't putting into action. And we're all guilty of that, sometime or another. Because we all are, what do you call those things? Human beings. They were at the Last Supper, the last night that Jesus and the 12 would be together in that way. And I'm sure that night was full of nostalgia, full of memories. All of the meals they'd had together before, all the people they'd met before, the conversation between them, and all of the miracles they had seen. But all of this, like everything on earth, was coming to an end. And Jesus knew this. And he wanted to leave them that night with something special. He wanted to leave them with a command. And he looked around the table that night, and he looked each one of them in the eye, and he said to them, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Christians have never been more in the critical spotlight than we are today. I mean, there's people sitting on the sidelines and they're just waiting to pounce on us, saying things like, "Ah, that's not how a Christian ought to talk. That's not what a Christian ought to say, ought to do." And Jesus knew this. He knew they would be saying this about us. And he told us right here in this scripture how to handle ourselves. He said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples." Not by the deeds you do. Anybody can do good deeds. Not by the words you say. Anybody can say good words. And certainly not by your lofty attitudes. They will know that you are my disciples if you simply love one another. And he was speaking that night to Philip and to James and Bartholomew and Peter and to you and to me. Just As surely as the sun rises every morning in the east, Jesus was speaking to you and me that night at the Last Supper. And it might be the hardest commandment he ever gave us. And we need him to help us take that first step. So how about this? How about this week, you and me? How about we try to love somebody who is really hard to love? And I bet you already got somebody in mind. And then, let's pray for somebody that we don't really like. Yeah, we can think of somebody. Let's forgive and love and pray for someone that we've never offered forgiveness or love or prayer to before. And it will be just a special week for them. It'll be a special week for you and me. Amen. And let's pray together right now. Lord, put that person in our path this week and help us show the love that you have told us should be in our hearts for everyone. We are in need of your guidance and your mercy, and we pray this prayer in the name of your Son, the Savior of the world. Amen.